You're checking out The Grind with Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com.
We're Gorgon Horde and you're not.
Hi, this is Alex from the Felium, and you're checking out The Grind.
Hey, what's going on? This is Chris, and I'll be hanging out with you for a couple hours today as we motor through The Grind, volume 122. Today's show increases in brutality as we move along. We'll be starting off with Stacey's interview with the punk rock threat from Edmonton known as Gorgon Horde. We've got four great From the Mailbox feature bands for you, ranging from melodic hardcore to sludgy grindcore punk rock. And we'll be wrapping up the show today with a chat I recently had with Toronto-based death metal act Nephilim, who started off by creating a scene in Dubai before moving to Canada to continue their quest for metal domination. Before we get things going, though, a big grind congratulations from all of us to our Aussie pals Stu and Chelsea from Friends with the Enemy, who will be getting married in Vegas, quite possibly during Punk Rock Bowling this year in May. I know the band is working on securing some gigs here in North America as well. I mean, really, what's better than getting married in Vegas, renting out Fat Mike's punk pad, and bringing your band along to share in the fun? May is a few months away still, but here's 3 months from Friends with the Enemy on The Grind. Cops versus Teen Goths, taking us into Stacey's chat with Gorgon Horde. More cops. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You're checking out The Grind. This is Stacey Steele on Punk Radio Cast, and welcome to the show. Today I am speaking with the guys from Edmonton's Gorgon Horde. How are you guys today?
Awesome.
I am speaking with you via Skype, which is kind of nice because we both get to sit around in whatever it is we're wearing and no one gets to see us, which is kind of an interesting way to do an interview. It's my first Skype interview, so welcome to Skype.
We have to see each other, unfortunately.
Tell us a little bit about Gorgon Horde. You guys formed over 2 years ago, and tell us a little bit about you guys for those just discovering.
Well, we formed at a Al Gorgon, who's the bass player slash frontman of the band, and I'm Al Gorgon, I'm the drummer. We went to a pub one night lamenting the fact that we were approaching our 30s and still weren't able to play music anymore, and all these douchebags with not so much talent were getting all these shows, and we're like, man, that sucks that we're not able to do it anymore. And through that night of beer and other things, we discovered that I can play drums, he can play bass, and we thought it'd be hilarious to form a band together. And the name Gorgon Horde just came about because we thought Gorgons are pretty badass, and no one really talks about Gorgons in music anymore. And what could be scarier than one Gorgon than a whole horde of Gorgons? And that's, we put a call out for a guitarist to complete the band, and our original guitarist came along, and he departed the band after he was assassinated by Gorgar Gorgon early last year. And there you go. That's a brief history of who we are.
That's awesome. What was the intention when you guys first banded together? Did you want to start playing punk rock music, or how did that come about? Like, how did you sort of define your niche with the music that you play?
I think we've really tried not to do that wherever we could, but we both came from, you know, annoying punk rock youth, but had a lot of other influences that came in as well. And I think the thing about punk rock that appeals to everybody in this band is that it's not a narrow category. That really what it should mean is allowing you to express all kinds of different weird ideas. So we started out right from the beginning writing 30-second punk rock songs and writing big, long rock and roll dirges. And yeah, we haven't really looked back.
And some of the songs that you do, are some of them short and some of them longer as well? Kind of like meshing the two sort of, quote, genres together, like the rock and the punk?
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything. I think if there's one thing that sort of links it all together, it's all definitely rock and roll down in its guts. It's all a little bit dangerous, a little bit weird. And we try to make it kind of funny too. We try to make it, you know, something that you can at least rock out to no matter what you're kind of into.
Totally. Not to take it too seriously, right?
Definitely. That's the secret to the whole thing.
I hear that a lot in this industry, is always never take anything too seriously because it can be your downfall. So it's refreshing seeing a band that wants to meld together two different sort of things and have it as their own and discover their own sound through it. So that's really cool.
Well, I think if you paint yourself into a corner, at some point it stops being fun. And if you're not having fun when you're playing shows for people, the audience isn't going to have a good time either.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Gorgon Horde, riding mighty all across this land. Sacrificing tears with a
guys have released an EP and a full-length album, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We released our Sorry Sister EP back in June of 2010, and we released our self-titled full-length in January of last year.
So a year ago almost, hey?
Yep.
That's awesome. And you guys also contributed tracks to some compilations. What were the compilations for exactly?
Well, probably the biggest compilation we released something to is the song Angry Scientists from our full-length album was actually on the CJSR FM radio fun drive compilation. So CJSR is the campus community station here in Edmonton, and it has a pretty wide distribution list in the thousands, and it comes like people who donate to the station, they get a little code that has a digital download of an album that has a lot of really cool local bands from different genres on there, and we happen to get onto that. Funny story, though, our first ever publicly released single was an early version of one of our instrumental tracks that got released onto the No Compilation Volume 2, which is out of Ames, Iowa, this DIY little print shop that had a little label on the side, and we didn't know it at the time, but it was actually a noise compilation, and our song was so sludgy, and it was so kind of sloppy that they thought it was a cool little noise track, and they kind of featured that on there. They just kind of stuck us on at the end. And that was our first little thing. We've also been featured in a couple of little specials that our friends at Dead City Radio in St. Albert have put out. So, you know, we've been pretty lucky in that way. I'm pretty happy with other people's willingness to pick up our stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. I listened a few weeks ago to some of the songs that were on your Facebook page. Then when you sent me the tracks the other day, I had a really good listen to some of those, and there's some really good stuff on there. It's pretty tight. I like it.
Yeah, and we've got a new album coming out in February, too. And the nice thing about playing in this band is that we're not afraid to like take things in different directions. Mm-hmm. And the first two albums were put out with our first guitarist. Gorgar's definitely brought a different take, a very fresh take to the band right now. And this new album's still going to have a lot of the same elements, but he definitely brings a lot more to the table, a lot of different things to it. So I'll let him maybe talk a little bit about what some of that new album's going to sound like.
Well, I would say compared to the other stuff, it's going to have a lot thicker tones for sure. I'd say it'll be more in the rock vein than the punk vein.
Mm-hmm.
Still Gorgonhorn. The core sound is still going to be there.
Are you just experimenting with something a little bit different, trying it out?
No, not really. I mean, we have a pretty solid direction with the band. It's not a conscious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a freight train rolling down the track that we're riding on.
Where have you recorded your album that's going to be released next month?
Well, we have a little studio at my house that we're actually sitting in right now. So there's kind of two schools of thought on that, really. I mean, on one hand, we probably could have gone into a professional studio and got a little cleaner sound, but what we wouldn't have had is the time to actually make it sound exactly like we want. Layer parts, layer guitars, you know, do as many takes of whatever we want.
Mm-hmm. So did you do the majority of it at the studio where you're at now and then just send it away to be sort of mixed?
Well, take an attempt at doing the mastering. It's always been an option right from the beginning to engage professional engineers or anything like that. So far, we haven't really felt like we've needed to do that. But if it certainly came to a point where we felt that we needed to do that, we would do that.
Okay. Is there anything that you would have done differently with your previous recording now that your album's been out for over a year now?
You know what? I think they represent where our band was at that time. They were both recorded in really weird sort of ways. The first one, the EP, we recorded basically in the middle of the night at the radio station. We just snuck in after hours and like recorded things one track at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, we locked ourselves in a sweaty closet for a whole day and recorded the entire thing live in one day. So they've all been like really different recording experiences, and they've come out with kind of different things. And I guess you could regret and like play with the sound of a record forever, trying to tweak little things, but they really represent what we were doing at the time. So.
Well, that's really cool. I like the way that you change it up each time and try out something different just to see how it turns out. That's really exciting. I didn't know that you guys spent time in a closet doing that.
We're out of the closet now.
You're out of the closet now?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Organ Horde is officially out of the closet.
What are some other plans for the future? Are you guys going to do any splits or any vinyl?
We haven't really given it too much thought at the moment, but everything's on the table. I mean, our first thought for this new album was that we were seriously looking at maybe doing a 7-inch, but that kind of, you know, we just thought maybe we'll just do another just conventional album. But in the future, there's, you know, the sky's the limit, really. I mean, we just, we just kind of play it by ear, take it one day at a time. We're focusing right now on this album and trying to book a few out-of-town shows to kind of help promote it. And, it's funny that you mentioned the previous albums and things we would have done differently, but we're actually really surprised with how well-received the first couple albums really were, despite, any shortcomings that we look back on now and see. So we're just kind of hoping this new album will build on that as we move forward.
Yeah, it's taking us sort of like to the next level. I really like that. That's a great idea. Speaking of which, you guys have some shows coming up. In a couple of months, you're going to be in Calgary on, I believe, March 30th at the Distillery.
Yeah, we're going to be in March 30th at the Distillery. The lineup is yet to be confirmed, but so far we can say we've got the Rock and Roll Rats.
Yeah.
On board with us, and we're looking, I know there's a couple other bands that we've asked, and so we're just waiting to finalize a lineup for that. We've got a CD release show. That's a CD release show in Calgary. We've got another one in Edmonton at DBA Tavern on February 17th with our friends Zero Cool and Groovy Rookers, both of whom we played with before and are really, really great live acts in their own right. So that's going to be an awesome show. And right now we're hoping to finalize some other out of town shows, made some phone calls, done some outreach, but nothing yet.
Will it be just through Alberta? Are you hoping to go further out into Canada?
Oh, we're super brave. We want to go all the way to Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, we're going to go all the way there. We might come back. No, this summer we really want to make our way out to Vancouver and back if we can.
Yeah.
That's always been a goal. I think with the band, we've always built on whatever we did. We started out, we just wanted to play one show. And then we wanted to play one show where they paid us in free beer. Mm-hmm. And then we wanted to play one show out of town. And it's just kind of built up. So we're at the point now that, yeah, definitely. We've played around the province quite a bit. And yeah, we're ready to get out and see a little more of the world.
Shows have you guys played before that it kind of sticks out in your mind that was a really rad show, whether it was a hometown show or when you guys have traveled before?
We played Lethbridge, I guess, last year, maybe even the year before, but when we played down there, it was just a hilarious time. We played with Misha and the Spanx.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, so great. And also with our friends from down there as well, the Smokestack Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun time, and that's kind of my hometown as well, so it was the like homecoming show, and it was like where I imagined it was gonna be the high school reunion where all the people I hated were gonna show up at the show and see how cool I was. None of them came, of course, because they're cooler than me, but it was just a really great time. And that's one of those shows where the after party just totally eclipses the show and was worth the drive just for that.
sometimes the after parties are worth everything. Sometimes they're the best thing ever, and you think, I'm so glad I came.
There's a couple of standouts for me. I would say playing in Calgary was probably my favorite because I'm from Calgary. I had the opportunity to have some family come out and check it out. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but it was the end of a little Alberta tour that we did, and we were starting to play really tight by the end of it. And I would say for me personally, that was my best live performance to date with the band. Another one that stands out was at a place called the Crown Pub here in Edmonton, which was a show where we kind of faced some adversity and still put it on anyway. And I know for myself, it was kind of a breakthrough show as far as live performance goes. I'll let Al give you his memory.
Honestly, for me, one show, there's a couple shows that stand out for me, but one in particular came a little earlier on in our run here. It was at the Pawn Shop. We did a fundraiser for basically for the Rotary Club. It was just a random email that I responded to, and we got on this really awesome bill with some really talented performers at the Pawn Shop, which is, I think, the best stage that I've ever played on. A lot of people in the house, and we played really, really well that night, and it's just really warm and fuzzy feelings, just as I'm even remembering a bit of it now. So,
grinning ear to ear.
So you know what? I love you a lot, man, but I have to tell you, my memory of that show is that we played on a Sunday afternoon to like 14 people. But it was really good. 14? It was really good.
That's what I mean. That's huge for us. We never draw that down.
Actually, he's totally right. That was a big show.
Do you guys see what you do as a necessity in today's world, being the way it is?
I don't know. I don't think we take it that seriously. I think rock and roll is supposed to be fun. It should be a little bit dangerous. It should make people react to it. So I guess in terms of that, giving people some sort of visceral outlet for things, maybe it's useful that way. But you know what? It's supposed to be fun. It shouldn't be something people have to philosophize about.
Yeah, I think that, the thing that I've really appreciated most about this is the fact that it is pretty much for three dudes who can step into, you know, shut the entire world out and come here and just, you know, play music and have fun doing it. This is a hobby for all three of us. You know, it's been like, we're at a level right now where when Al Gorgon and I first had those pints, we didn't think we would even, you know, put out an album. Never mind anything else. And so the fact that we're actually now doing interviews and got number three coming out and already burned through one guitarist and are burning through another, it's...
Sounds it's, good.
Yeah, it's been a great ride so far.
Yeah, it's awesome. I know you guys are getting quite a bit of notability. I noticed that there's a lot of draw towards your band, which is a really good thing. And people are starting to get to know you guys. And I heard about you guys last year. I think it was last summer. I'd heard about you guys for the first time. And then all of a sudden, the name kind of kept popping up. And when you did that show with Misha and the Spanx, I remember hearing that name too. And I was like, oh, okay, out there from Edmonton. They're a hard rock, punk rock kind of band. It sounds like a really good opportunity to play together. And then I, you know, just hearing it here and there around the scene, I guess. And I think it's a really great thing. It's important and it's exciting and it's fun for us that like to sit and watch the shows as well. So,
well, as much as we don't take ourselves seriously and take the music scene seriously and stuff like that, it's important to note that we take the music really seriously, and the songwriting and our approach to recording and our approach to live performance is extremely serious, but the content isn't.
What's your favorite part about playing in a band, you guys?
The chicks. Definitely. No, I'm kidding. You'll never get girls playing in this band ever. I think the best thing for me, honestly, is playing live. There's just some weird electricity that you get. It just flows up your spine. When you plug in and you hit that first chord and you get everybody in your band is just chugging along in exactly the same direction and you manage to keep it all together, it's the best high there is, for sure.
Well, I would echo everything that Al just said. Seeing people air guitaring in the crowd is definitely one of my favorite things.
It's awesome.
feeling the stage, like at a venue like New City, for example, it's like you're riding on top of an acoustic guitar the whole set. That's a really cool feeling as well.
I think for me too is the fact that when you play in front of an audience that appreciates what you're doing, and the last show that we played in Calgary actually really hammered that home. That was a bigger crowd than we normally have, and people were asking for one more song, and we weren't the last act of the night. And that's a pretty big rush. It's something that I'm generally not used to encountering. Mm-hmm. People wanting me to continue to play music. So the fact that it actually happened this time around, it's kind of intoxicating.
That's awesome. Anything else that you guys would like to add to our interview? Any future plans for 2012 besides the two shows coming up in February and March?
I think, you know what? 2012 is the year of the Gorgon, we decided. We made a pact this year. So this year you're going to see us playing all over the place. You're going to hear us on the radio. Hopefully you're going to run into us all over. So if we could say one thing to people, it's take the time to come out to a live show. That's the best way to hear any band. It doesn't matter how great records are. You'll never really get the experience unless you come rock out in person.
Absolutely agree with that one, fellows.
Yeah, and another benefit of coming out to a live show is you'll see other bands you might not have the opportunity to see. So if you like our band and come out and check out a couple other bands, you might find some other bands that you like, or their fans come and see us and that kind of thing. And that's a networking that you're not going to get just listening to the album. Of course, when the album comes out, listen to that thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and all of our stuff, we embrace the whole social media aspect and making everything we do as accessible as possible. So we try not to charge a whole lot of money to our shows, and we put all of our albums free for download on Bandcamp, on Facebook, on MySpace, on Reverb Nation. We're working on updating our website, so it's lots of opportunities to check out who we are, what we do, what others are saying, and that sort of thing.
And they can find you on
www.gorgonhorror.com.
And then just Facebook, and just type it in the search bar.
Yep. Just make sure you put the little umlauts over the O's. And also on MySpace, Bandcamp, you can download both the albums that are already out there. We'll put the third one up on there as well. Reverb Nation, all the social media sites that deal with music.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you gentlemen today.
Great. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Anytime. We look forward to hearing the new album in February and checking out the show later on this year. Definitely.
Great. Thanks so much, Stacey.
Play their games, you can only come in late. Except there's something wrong with us.
Sorry Sister off their EP release from a little while back. That was Gorgon Horde. In there we also heard Angry Scientists and Gorgons Are Go. I think I'll be going to Deviate in Edmonton for that February show with Zero Cool and the Groovy Rookers, so you can expect some live footage of these guys on the grind PRC.ca in the months to come. Jumping over to Lisbon, Portugal for our first From the Mailbox feature, Defying Control have released their new digital two-song EP, Time Changes, just a couple days ago. These guys have embraced the support of various DIY websites in many countries, including Canada, Portugal, Spain, France, the States, Belgium, Italy, and many more. During the release of this EP, we here at The Grind are proud to have helped with the promotion of this. Let's load up one of those tracks from Defying Control. This is the title track, Time Changes. Defying Control on The Grind, PRC. Background history for you on these guys. Defying Control have been going hard since 2005. They've played shows with bands like Ignite, No Use for a Name, and Streetlight Manifesto, just to name a couple. Since their inception, they've released two albums in addition to this year's digital EP, toured Brazil, the rest of Europe, and have had over 100 shows in their home country, as well as some features on their national TV station and a video on MTV Portugal. Keep connected with the guys over at their new website, defyingcontrol.net, or their Facebook page, /defyingcontrolband. And they'll be producing music videos for the songs off of Time Changes, as well as some studio and interview videos from the recording process. This is Defying Control, Dreams.
hope, hope in my life. My dreams are girls, they wake me up at night. My dreams are hope, hope in my life. My dreams are girls, they wake me up at night. My dreams are hope, hope in my life. My dreams are girls, they wake me up at
next, a track from our buds in Calgary's Obey the Fist. These dudes are competing for a spot on this year's Boonstock stage. And if you're in the Central Alberta corridor and looking for a fucking wicked show to attend, hit up the VAT in Red Deer tomorrow, the 28th, for round 3 of Battle for Boonstock, where the Fist will be slaying ears and taking names. This is, off of their Epidemic of Reason release, Obey the Fist with Worth. We'll be right back.
here comes a broadcast. Rubbing up your rising strap, this song to your chest. A countdown until you take your last
Canada for this next From the Mailbox. This is Slush with Falling Down. We'll be right back. Canadian melodic punk rock since 1992, Slush hail from the slopes of Whistler in beautiful British Columbia, having shared the stage with biggies like Death by Stereo, Strung Out, Protest the Heroes, A Wilhelm Scream, The Flatliners, as well as many regionally based badasses like Raised by Apes, Living with Lions, and lots more. They've got a new album in the works, which will be their 10th release. And thanks to the guys in the band, we've got some rough mixes off that. This right here is Punchy. Slushpunk.com or their Facebook page, just search Slush Punk Rock and you can get connected. One more from these guys today on the grind. This is Live and Die. At nothing. This is Never More Than Less.
Time.
Never More Than Less hail from Quebec City and are on their third album, entitled simply The Album, which came out in 2010. This four-piece metal act with punk and hardcore influences won the award for Best Punk Hardcore Album with their second release, Relentless, at the Gala de la Musique 2009 Awards. These guys are gearing up for a tour of Ontario and Quebec in February and March, and we'll get to some of those details following this one. This is The Ape Known as God.
The pills that await us are a book to not a universe. The pills that will face the result of our fear and hate. The pills that await us are a book to not a universe. The pills that will face the result of our fear and hate.
Never More Than Less will be hitting stages hard in Quebec and Ontario, including a show at Le Cirque in Quebec City with Cancer Bats on February 3rd, a show at The Hideout in Toronto with The Beggars on the 18th, and a bunch of dates throughout Quebec with OK Volca and the band Smash Hit Combo, coming all the way from France. Find out more details on this tour and the band in general at their site nevermorethanless.com or search them on Facebook. This last one from them today is called King of Your World.
Paper jam is at a little black!
I'm not afraid to die.
was Great Dane, a cover song from Vancouver noise rockers An Ion, and originally done by Canadian noise rock legends Kittens. That can be found on An Ion's 2011 three-song EP, Manolette. If you're digging these guys, you are in luck, because we've got a couple more tracks from them coming right up. You can also check out their material over on their Bandcamp page for donation or free download. That's anion.bandcamp.com. Right now, this is Torero. Are currently working on their full-length album to be released later this summer, and from the sounds of things, it's going to be a fucking solid release. One more from An Ion. This is Heart Transplant. We'll be right back. Are you guys ready to get brutal? This is the single off of the band's new album, Coils of Entropy. This is Nephalem with Merciless Annihilation.
We'll be right back. everyone, welcome back to The Grind, volume 122 right here on punkradiocast.com. We've got some fucking awesome death metal coming your way right now. On the phone with me is Alex from the band Nephalem. How are you today, man?
Hey, not bad. How are you?
Pretty damn good. Now, you guys are a five-piece based out of Toronto right now and just ripping into the metal scene. Can you give me a little bit of a background history on you guys, discography-wise? You have a couple releases out thus far?
Yeah, well, basically the band started off when Alan and I, my drummer and I, we lived in the Middle East, in Dubai, in a country called United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
The band started off pretty much in the early, like I would say late 90s, when we used to live there because our family lived there. It's a great country, it's a very cosmopolitan country, yeah, but you know, it was a strict country for, because it's a Muslim country.
Yeah.
And having access to metal was pretty difficult at times back in the day, but you know. So we pretty much created the scene over there, and it got pretty big in underground-wise, and then we moved because Toronto, like, Canada's home for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved back. So I moved back here, and we wanted to like pursue more with the band and take it more seriously. So it was not really happening over there. So that's the reason when I moved here, Alan moved here, and we had to start off from scratch.
Yeah.
But it was very, very challenging. It was very, very challenging, and I must say, but the end result, it's paying off, and it's amazing. You know what I mean? It's the album's out. It sounds wicked, and like they're getting a lot of feedback from different magazines and different labels and stuff like that. And we're out there. We want to go out there and rock it.
So the brand new stuff coming from you. It's official release in February, correct? For Coils of Entropy.
Yes, our debut album is Coils of Entropy. It's getting released on the 7th of February.
You guys have some epic songs on here, from what I've heard so far.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Yeah, they fucking shred. I'll be quite honest, I don't listen to a lot of death metal, but when I find bands that I enjoy, I definitely crank them up, and you guys are on that list now for sure.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're a death metal band. We have, you know, what we're trying to do is take every different genres of death metal and put them together, because you know, a lot of the new bands right now, you know, they're forgetting the old school bands. You know, sometimes people call us old school sounding more than death metal act. You know, the reason why they do that is because we take, people forget how things started off. So we take the elements of the old school death metal, we drive it in a modern way.
I think that's awesome when groups dig back to the history, to the roots of the genre, and possibly re-educate some possible newer listeners on where everything started and what it was all built upon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because a lot of new kids are listening to the newer death metal, and they kind of don't really know or don't even have a clue. Sometimes I've seen a lot of kids and asking questions about old school bands, and they're like, yeah, we kind of know, but they're more into the newer stuff. But what we're trying to do is trying to get them to go back in the day. Like, you know, I just remember when I was a kid, like, rocking out old school death metal on my Walkman.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Back in the days when there were tapes. And,
yeah, cassettes, yeah.
That we used to like trade cassettes and tapes, and that was awesome. And that's missing these days, right?
Oh, definitely.
And so that's what we're trying to create, like the feel, often kind of, you know, the old school feel, but in a very new school way.
So, as musicians in this day and age, with the internet and the readily accessible, you know, just a couple clicks and you can have a download, or you know, illegally or legally. What kind of challenges do you guys face in today's scene, the way that music is consumed nowadays?
It is very difficult for musicians, like, you know, especially, you know, you're spending, you know, you're basically pouring out your blood and sweat,
yeah,
to do, you know, put your work together, and it gets leaked out, and, you know, people download it for free. It's a good thing and a bad thing, I would say, because a lot of people in a lot of parts of the world, they don't even have access to what they want to listen to, but now they do.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, musicians are not really, and even bands are not really making any money on their CD sales or their album sales.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different now is people are making, like, you know, if bands are trying to make cover up, or if they're making any money, I would say they tour the hell out of themselves.
Yeah.
Right? All about tour and merchandise. That's what we're looking for. We know for a fact that, you know, our album's already leaked. We were checking, it was already leaked on the internet, but we weren't really surprised. We were like, hey, you know, hey, cool, maybe some kid who can't even afford it can get the record off, they can download it. What we're trying to do is we're concentrating on being a touring band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to go out there. We waited so long. We had to, like, move two continent and based here. Like, you know, we got based over here, and at the same time, you know, we're trying to go out and go out tour and play our music all over the world. We're not want to be a band which is based in Toronto and just tour North America or Canada. We want to tour everywhere, and we want to go back to Dubai.
Nice.
And play.
Yeah. Have you been back, maybe not as a band, but like to visit family? And if you have...
No, I haven't been back since 2004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask what kind of differences you've seen in the scene since you've been there, but I guess you might have a slight idea with the accessibility of the internet that I'm assuming it's probably a little bit more open than when you guys first were setting the trenches for that.
Oh, absolutely. They're changed right now, which really surprises me, and I'm really, really happy because it shows, because we know we were like this, the scene was so little that everybody knew everyone, and we were like the most extreme band out there playing the most extreme, like we're a brutal death metal band. We always stick to the brutal and the heaviness. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we left, you know, there's a very, very good band over there called Nerve Cell. They're doing really well.
Okay.
And they took off. They have like desert rock festivals. A lot of bands went out there and played like Opeth, Arch Enemy,
nice.
Machine Head, Sepultura. You know, I could never imagine that. If I was a kid and that would happen, that would have freaked me out. But, you know, things are changing. Now you can go to like a CD store and you can have a whole huge section of metal over there. So things are changing now, which is great. And it's a great opportunity for us to go back there because we left that soil. You know, we want to go back there and play when we're an established band.
Yeah, have everything come around full circle.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's what we're waiting for right now. Yeah, we want to go out and we want to tour. We want to go to Europe. We want to go all over the Middle East, Southeast Asia, all over Asia, all over the world. That's what we're aiming to do.
Now, I understand that Coils of Entropy is a concept album that you guys have had in the works since back around 2006 or so?
Yeah, that's true. The concept of the album, yeah, 2006, we had the album, we started, like, 2006, we started writing the records. It was done by 2007. The only reason why we took long to release the record, because three of the members who were on the record, they parted away. They went their own way. The vocalist, Aaron, he went back to Europe because he wanted to pursue his life back in Europe. Mm-hmm. The other two guys, Jay and Dan, who was in the band, the bass player and the guitar player, they parted away because they had their own personal reasons. So due to that and, you know, getting... It's very hard to find good musicians.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who are dedicated. There are a lot of amazing musicians out here in Canada, but, you know, dedication is the most important. Because I've seen a lot of bands come, they play a couple of gigs, they go around and play maybe like a Canadian tour, and they break up.
And they just kind of fade off into existence, yeah.
Yeah, there's like not a lot of bands stick with each other. They just give up for some reason. So we found the rest of the guys who are in the band right now. They're solid members. They're amazing musicians. And like James Sawyer, who's the other guitar player, Flo Ravier, who's he's a Belgian bass player, he's crazy. And our vocalist, Dale Devlin Anderson, it's amazing. They're like a perfect fit for the band. So due to that, and it's not an easy process. It's not about just going to do like a studio and recording a couple of tracks and get an album cover and just go release it. No. It's a process, because our recording process was like one hell of a process. You know, you heard the production. The production is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and we our producer Darius, he's like a very famous producer. He's done Sacrifices album. He's done a lot of commercial stuff. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot from him too, because when you walk into the studio and when you're recording your music, you know where you stand.
Yeah.
As a musician, right? And we got better as musicians. So all this process took long, you know. It's financially whatever, but you know, at the end of the day, kept on moving forward. We don't want to give up, so we kept on moving, and the end result is just amazing.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I think with all the challenges that that often come along with finding, you know, guys in a band that are going to live up to the expectations that everyone has, and then being able to, you know, get along with everybody. I think that you guys, it definitely shows in Coils of Entropy, the meticulousness that you guys have put into finding the right people, the right sounds, the recording everything the way that you want to do it. Like you say, I mean, you could go in, you can rattle off a couple songs, pick an album cover and put it out there. But in the end, if you're a seriously dedicated musician, you want to have something that represents your band as best as it can. And I think this definitely
absolutely
does.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why we're doing this. We're just not doing this for the heck of it. We're not doing this because it's a hobby. We're doing this because we eat and we breathe and we live.
Yeah.
Metal. We live music, right? And that's the most important thing. You know, music is what we live for, my drummer and I and the rest of the guys. Another good thing is if you look at Canada in general, and if you look at the metal scene in Canada, most of the bands which made it and gave Canada a name, all the bands are from Montreal.
Yeah. Oh, Montreal has an insane metal scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And but none of the bands ever made it from Toronto other than Sacrifice, which was 20 years ago. Right? Yeah, the band started off in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, but now we're based in Toronto. Toronto's home, Canada's home. We're a Canadian death metal band. Oh, you know, we want to come out from Toronto. We want to give a name to Toronto and Ontario that, you know, there is a band, you know, who's playing extreme metal music to come out, and then we want to represent Toronto. We want to represent Canada in general. You know what I mean? That's another challenge that we have.
What do you think is some of the reasons that there hasn't been that as much of a groundswell of metal coming from Toronto as there is in Montreal?
It's really funny. You know, I must say there's a lot of politics in the music scene as well. And strangely, if you look at Canada, if you look at Toronto, Toronto is the music hub. And Toronto has the biggest music industry all over Canada.
Uh-huh.
Toronto's like California of Canada. Toronto's like New York of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there's you know, it's just the musicians, it's just the band. Maybe it's sad to see sometimes, you know, they don't stick around.
Yeah.
You know, and when the reality hits, like, hey, it's not about, hey, you know, I'm going to go record an album and the label's going to pick me up right away. And, you know, you go out on a tour, you're a rock star, you live like a rock star life. No, when they get the reality, a lot of people back off. Be like, hey, do I really want to go sleep in the car, sleep in the bus, and go out on touring, mm-hmm. and would I want to take that risk? And there are people are scared of taking that risk, and that's the problem, right?
Okay.
But we're not scared of anything. That's why we want to go out there and prove it. Hey, you know what? Nothing comes easy.
Yeah.
Right. But whenever it comes, like, it's, you know, achieving your goal, that's the most important thing. It's not going to come easy. But when once you get it, it's just like, yeah, you know, I got it. This is where we are.
And it's so much more pleasurable because of the challenges that everybody faced. And a lot of times filtering out the people that maybe are not as dedicated musicians to the touring life, or actually putting in a whole bunch of effort. Not to say that there are bands that don't put in the effort required. But like you say, it's definitely a filtering process to get those people that are really hardcore dedicated to their scene and to their craft.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what I tell a lot of people? It's three simple things. No matter what happens, never, ever, ever give up. Like I even tell kids, like even if I tell like young bands coming up, mm-hmm. I tell them never give up. The key to, if you want to do this, you never give up. All you got to do is believe in it and be patient, and you'll automatically receive it. You know, and that's the pleasure. That's what we're waiting for, that adrenaline rush when we make it. We're still not going to give up, but we're still waiting for that day.
Well, that's wicked, man. I think you guys are in a well-positioned place to continue further into that, and as you say, attain those goals of representing Toronto in the metal scene and Canada on a global scale. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, if folks are looking to find you on the web, you've got a few different locations. You've got a Bandcamp as well as a Facebook page. You want to rattle those off for our listeners?
Yes, we have a, you know, you can go to myspace.com/Nephalium. We have a MySpace page. We have a Facebook page. We have a Reverb Nation page. We have a Bandcamp. You guys can find us on Twitter. You know, it's pretty easy, pretty accessible, you know. And so that's what we're trying to do, and we're just waiting to release the record and see what happens from then.
Wicked. Now, you guys actually have a show coming up.
We have a show coming up on February the 11th. We're playing in Cambridge.
Okay.
There's a part of the place called Cambridge in Ontario. We're playing a metal festival, like a death metal festival, and we're headlining the show.
Fucking
nice. There's going to be a lot of good local bands.
Nice.
So, we're pretty excited, and we're taking off from there. We have a couple of shows coming up, playing in Ottawa and Montreal. We want to go out and play in Quebec. We want to go out. We're definitely planning to come out to the prairies and play in Edmonton, Calgary, all over Saskatchewan. We want to do that.
Wicked, man.
And hopefully this year we're definitely gonna be playing all over Canada.
This is the year.
Yeah, this is the year, 2012.
Got to do it before the end of the world, right? Or whatever is happening.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to push one more time that your album is coming out, Coils of Entropy. It's going to be officially released on the 7th of February.
Yes, that's correct. It'll be available all over the internet. If you want to go to iTunes, anywhere, you would definitely find it.
Awesome. And coinciding with that, we want to try and get your Facebook fan page up to 666. By that release time, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And I must say thank you very much for giving us a chance. Thank you very much for interviewing me.
Oh, not a problem, man. We love talking to musicians like yourselves that have that dedication and that drive to get to the next level and spread the music all over the world.
Thank you.
Ah!
and shutting the show down with Burial Ground from Nephalem. Remember to check out and support these bands that you've heard on the show today, or just on The Grind in general, and just let them know that The Grind sent you. We'll be back in a week or so with volume 123. Until next time, keep grinding.